The other night I was listening to a news program, and in it they had some excerpts of Winston Churchill's speeches, and I thought of he was like, or these things were directed to the people of the world, and I wish I could have had more of them, but the one thing he said is, our future is in our hands. And this was, he was referring naturally to the affairs of the world and how we would handle the communist nation, what it was. But I have thought since then how that fits the Christian people of the world, that our future is in our hands, in our own hands, what we do. I've got some scriptures here I want to read, but before I do, I surely have slipped a couple of these things out of it. I guess it's the religious part of the Daily Sentinel. I thought how true these things were. I'd like to read them before I read my scriptures. And one thing it says, too many Christians worship their work. Work at their play and play at their worship. And I thought how that fits so many religions today. And another thing here was they've written, it says, God has always designed laws to bring personal happiness to those who will obey them. And I don't really know who wrote these, I have no idea, but I thought of how true they were. But I thought too that how our future is in our own hands. And to do anything, we've got to have a way to communicate. And that, of course, is through prayer. I think of how important that is. Maybe I talk about that too many times, but prayer, I think, is the most important thing that we have. One of the most important. We've got to have faith, and we've got to have charity. But we have got to have a way to communicate with God, and that's the only way we can do it. Of course, we do a lot of communicating just by the lives we live. He can see those things, and he knows what we're living. I want to read a little bit out of the fifth chapter of Matthew. This is, I'm sure that most of us know exactly what it's going to be. The sixth chapter, pardon me, of Matthew. Really, the part that I want mainly is after the fifth verse, but I'm going to read the fourth part of it too. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Technically, when we're doing things like that, we're in a sense communicating with God and letting him know what we want to do or what we are doing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. And we can see this happening in different cultures throughout time, where people had shouted and beat drums and even cut themselves and one thing and another to try to get the attention of the Lord. But not, be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye need before ye ask them. Ask him. And I think I'll just read the Lord's Prayer here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And how important that is to really mean that and put an effort forth into doing it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now all of us realize those things, that he is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And there where it says, but deliver us from evil. And how important is it that we seek the Lord and ask him to give us the strength that we might be delivered from evil. How many evil things are around us every day? Tens and tens of thousands of them. And we could be led astray at any moment. But if we seek the Lord when we have a trial or we have a problem, he would very likely hear us. Now I want to go over here to Moroni in the 6th chapter for a couple of verses. I want to read 5 and 6. Here I believe. And this is some of the things that was being done in the scripture. This was after they had been baptized, and there were their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And they were strict to observe that they should do no iniquity among them. And whosoever was found to commit iniquity, and 3 witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of the church. But as often as they repented and sought forgiveness, with real intent, they were forgiven. And again, those people, their entire futures, as ours is now, was in their own hands. And we know what happened in the next few chapters here, how they fell away and were literally destroyed. I want to go back into Helaman for a couple of or 3 verses in the 2nd chapter. I want to go back and start with the 22nd verse in the 2nd chapter of Helaman. And this is a time that was a marvelous time, and I would just rejoice to see it happen today. And it came to pass that in this same year there was exceeding great prosperity in the church, insomuch that there were thousands who did join themselves unto the church and were baptized unto repentance. And so great was the prosperity of the church, and so many the blessings which were poured out upon the people, that even the high priests and the teachers were themselves astonished beyond measure. Oh, how wonderful that would be if we could just have that happen again today, that we could have that many people become interested. And it came to pass that the work of the Lord did prosper unto the baptizing and uniting the church of God, many souls, even tens of thousands. Thus we may see that the Lord was merciful unto all who in the sincerity of their hearts call upon his holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is opened unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And what a wonderful time that would be. And why would people ever, when they had something like that, why would they turn away? When you had the blessings of the Lord beyond what the people could even imagine, it looked like that no one would ever turn to the left or right, but would go straight down the path forever when you had that wonderful things about you and all the people. But this was in I'm not sure what year that started in. About the 49th year, I'm guessing it was. And I'm going to go over here onto the next page. In the 49th year, they had all of these things. And here in verse 29, and in the 51st year of the reign of the judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter in into the church. Not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who profess to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. Now how could a thing like that happen in a couple of years or three at the outside? How could that happen after they'd had so many blessings and then turn away? Now this was a great evil which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. Now there was a lot of them that didn't turn away. They knew that they were able to control their own lives and do what was necessary, but some of them turned away. And why this would happen when they had had so many blessings, I really don't understand. I'm going to read some more very familiar verses. I'm going to go up here to James and read some. In the 5th chapter, and all of us know these verses, and I almost should imagine if I asked you to start reciting them that we could in the group here and recite all the verses that I'm going to read. Because I'm going to start at the 14th verse here in the 5th chapter of James. And it's some more promises that's made to the people. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And this one here, this next verse, is pretty hard to do, I think. We don't begin with want to think that we have any faults, but here's what they tell us to do. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it goes on in these next few verses to tell what has happened at one time. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. But we think of Elijah there, what he done. He prayed that it wouldn't rain for a space of three and a half years, and then he prayed again and it did rain. If I ask anyone in this room if you believe that a mountain could be moved, I'm sure that everyone in here would hold up their hand. We know that a mountain can be moved because it's told us in Scripture. And do we believe that if it was necessary that Grand Mesa could be moved to the south of us here to hedge up the way of an enemy or something, if it was necessary? I think everyone here believes that that could happen. But how many people here believe that if it's necessary, if it was up to them to do the praying, that it would happen? How many of us really has got that much faith and that much strength that if it was necessary and we commanded Grand Mesa to be moved, that we believe that it would be done? Now, if we don't have that much faith, we've got to go to work, haven't we? And we've got to strive that we might have a greater amount of faith, that we could actually do that. And the case might arise someday that we would actually have to do something like that. So we have got a lot of things that we should do, be able to do. We should have faith that we could accomplish whatever was necessary. And it may be that if a time arrives like that, that anyone in this room could pray and ask the Lord to do it, and it would be done. Now, if we had the faith that it was necessary, it could be. I want to read a little bit out of the 16th chapter of Alma. In times past, I can remember pretty much everyone here reading these verses. I'm going to start with the 90th verse in the 16th chapter of Alma. And this is a time that the Joramites had built a great tower and people had to go up onto it to pray. And I'm going to read the prayer that they offered. And now those people had the scripture, had the same chance to do the same thing that any of us do or anyone else does. And here is the direction they went. And it's not too far from what we might even see today in places. Therefore, whosoever desired to worship must go forth and stand upon the top thereof and stretch forth his hands toward heaven and cry with a loud voice, saying, Holy God, we believe that thou art God, and we believe that thou art holy, and that thou wast a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou wilt be a spirit forever. Holy God, we believe that thou hast spared us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the traditions of our brethren, which was handed down to them by the childishness of their fathers, but we do believe that thou hast elected us to be thy holy children. And you know that a lot of people think that it is foolishness and childishness that a person would believe that any of the, that God could actually hear prayers and direct people and cause events to change and so on. A lot of people believe that. And these people apparently believed that it was foolishness too. And also thou hast made it known unto us that there shall be no Christ, but thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou hast elected us, that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast by the wrath, by thy wrath down to hell. For the which holiness, O God, we thank thee, and we also thank thee that thou hast elected us, that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which doth bind them down to a belief in Christ, which doth lead their hearts to wander far from thee, O God. And again we thank thee, O God, that we are a chosen people and a holy people. Amen. I don't know that anyone has a prayer like that today, but some of them I have heard almost leads us to believe that they believe they're a select people and almost above temptation, and whatever they do is going to be all right. Whatever they do is going to be all right. Of course, I could read on here on and on of what, how these people believe that they only worship once a week and on and on. And how far, that, when we read something like that, how far those people have gone astray, we can really see what they've done. But how would a people do that when they had the same scripture that we've got here to read? How can a people go that far astray? How can people today go as far astray as they have and have the Bible, but just the Bible? I don't see how they could go as far astray. Believing that God doesn't answer prayers, believing that he doesn't direct the affairs of his church, or any of those things. No miracles or anything. And some people even believe that, or they think that if people believe that way, that maybe they should be kind of put away someplace because they're a little strange and maybe a little demented. And to believe that God can hear the prayers. On a program, 60 Minutes, last week, they had a story on Oral Roberts in Tulsa. And this one doctor said that Oral Roberts, you know, claimed to speak to God and talk with him. And they asked him if they thought that he did, and he said, well, a few years ago, anyone that thought that would be taken away to the funny farm. But he, his doctor didn't believe that he did talk to God, and I don't know whether he does or not. A lot of the things he does I don't approve of, and I don't think is right, and so on. But still, we have got to believe that God hears us, and he directs us. Now, how he's directing those people, I really don't know. Because it's quite a profiteering outfit. But there is a lot of people that really pray to the Lord daily, and they really don't think that anything's going to happen. And I doubt that it will. I want to go over here again in Third Nephi in the 8th chapter. The 46th verse. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Now here was there's being directed to the apostle or the ministry, I believe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil and be led away captive by him. So we've got to watch daily and moment by moment that we can overcome these things and keep him from leading us astray. And he will enter in a devious manner and to do it in any manner in the world, and he never sleeps. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church among my people, who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. Words. And it come to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you. That's quite a statement. Now Christ told these people, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father, in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And the rest of this is beautiful verses, I won't go on into them. But that one part there, where Satan desires to have us, if we knew that there was wicked people out here and they were desiring to take us physically and do harm to us, it would frighten us pretty bad, wouldn't it? If we knew there was somebody outside that door that was trying to get hold of us and do us bodily damage, and we knew the moment we stepped out there they was going to get us, we'd be pretty afraid, wouldn't we? And I think we've got something that we need to be 10 times more afraid of than something physical like that. Because Satan wants us, and he's going to lead us away when we don't even think about it. And he is a master at it. I want to go over into the 10th chapter of Alma for a few verses. I want to begin with the 27th verse here. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, yea, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. And isn't that important? We've got to pray that we might not be tempted above that which we can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. Now that was the type of people that I read about there, where they had baptized so many people and all of them had become righteous. They were the people like that. But it didn't last very long, because Satan entered in with the one thing that he knew he could get there with, was with pride. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. Now all of us, I think, is a little fearful of death. We would hate the second to suffer death. But can you imagine what the second one would be like? Probably 100 times worse. want to go over into Moroni for a few verses. I often think of how much is written in that little book of Moroni. They had times of joy, and when they went astray, they went so far astray, finally, that they were totally destroyed. And we can't hardly believe it happened in as few years as it actually happened in. I want to read out of the 7th chapter, 7th and 8th verse. For if a man, being evil, giveth a gift, he doeth it. For if a man, being evil, giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted to him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore, it is counted evil before God. Likewise, also it is counted evil unto man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. He don't want something that's phony, does he? Oh yeah, our future is in our hands, but we can't be phony about it. We have got to be absolutely sincere. It's got to be with real intent of heart. I'm going to start again in the 8th verse. And likewise also it shall be counted evil unto a man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man, being evil, cannot do that which is good, neither can he give a good gift. So we can look usually at a person and pretty well tell what type of person they are. And I believe that we will be given a lot of discernment on what to do if we seek the Lord continually. I'm going to go back over here and read a few verses of maybe one of the kind of my favorite stories in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to turn over here to page 193 and read a little bit about Enos. I always enjoy this little story, and I believe it's something that all of us should be able to relate to and realize that what he has done is within our grasp. And I wouldn't be surprised, but some of us many times have prayed and had similar blessings, maybe from a little different way, but similar things to what happened to him in this little story. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And isn't that the truth? That aren't we thankful that we have been taught these things from times past and we have the knowledge of them? And I will tell you of the wrath which I had before God, before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sank deep into my heart. And I think that there's been times when we have been someplace and these things have come to our mind, and we were very serious about it, and we were very concerned, and we sought the Lord diligently. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when it was night, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore, my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen, and many years pass away before he shall be manifest, before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, he had a great faith there, and he was able to accomplish great things. But if he hadn't sought the Lord, you suppose it would have come unto him? Surely he realized that his future was in his own hands, and what he'd done there could change his whole life, and it surely did. And it could change ours just as easily. I want to read one last verse here in Moroni, the 7th chapter and the 53rd verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Pray with all the energy of our hearts. If we've got a problem, really seek the Lord out and spend some time at it. And I know as we continue to do this more and more and more, that he is going to hear our prayers and he's going to bless us. And I am sure that we are going to need him to be with us, to strengthen us and guide us in the next few years, possibly more than any people has ever needed him in history. That's my prayer, that we might be able to have him to do the guiding of us when the time is needed.
They were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And this particular verse is the one that I stand upon as a guide. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them, and whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as often as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. Now this particular thought stood out in my mind.